It really is God's will for your life that you find peace in a pressure-packed world. Little Stephen is only 4 years old, and after Sunday school, his mother said, "Honey, what did you learn in Sunday school today?" And with a big smile on his face, he laughed and he said, "I learned the most wonderful thing. Our teacher said that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that we might have everlasting life." And of course, we know that it's everlasting life, but I kind of like Stephen's rendition better. Because indeed, Jesus died so that we could experience the joy and the peace and the love that comes from knowing Him. You remember Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." In this world you will have tribulation, trouble, worries, difficulties. But cheer up. He says, "I have overcome the world." Now the problem is some people don't know how to find peace, and what you don't know really can hurt you. I heard the funny story about the soldier who was making his first parachute jump. His commanding officer said, "You yell, Geronimo, jump out of the plane, pull the ripcord." Well, he was working so hard to try to remember the name of that Indian that when he jumped out of the airplane, he forgot what to do next. And so here he is free falling through the air, wondering what to do next. When suddenly he looks down and rising up from the earth is another guy. And so they're about to pass in midair. Well, as he passes him, the soldier said to this guy, he says, "Do you know anything about how to open a parachute?" And he looked at this guy and his hair was singed and tell his face had been burned. And as he passed by, the guy said, "Nope. Do you know anything about how to light a gas heater?" I tell you, what you don't know really can hurt you. And if you don't know how to find peace in the kind of world we live in, you're going to be facing difficulty for much of your life. Now today we're going to talk about burnout. Now don't think for one moment that burnout is only something that happens to executives, presidents of companies. Burnout can happen to housewives. Burnout can happen to retired people. Burnout can happen to teenagers and even to children. Now what is burnout? It's a word that we have coined in our fast-paced society. The definition of burnout is attributed to Dr. Herbert Freudenberger, and this is what he says. Burnout is a state of fatigue or frustration brought about by devotion to a cause, a task, or relationship that failed to produce the expected reward. Now, did you catch the key words? It is fatigue or frustration brought on when a relationship, a job, fails to produce the expected reward. When things don't turn out the way we expected them to turn out, we can face burnout. Now, Dr. Hans Selye has studied stress, and he was the first scientist to group most Americans into two groups of personality types. Type A personality, that's the hard-charging, competitive, aggressive, impatient kind of person. Type B is to describe those who are more laid back. They chill out. They never get in a hurry. Now, Dr. Selye said that about 50% of Americans are type A. You can call them racehorses. About 40% of Americans are type B. You might call them turtles. And then about 10% are a combination of the two. Now, it's interesting. You are either a type A or a type B. Now, I've known some who are type A's. I know some who are type AA and AAA, don't you? I mean, they are really wired up and they are high strung. You know, I've noticed that seldom do type A people marry each other because they're always so busy they kind of pass each other. But a lot of times, two type B people will marry each other and they stay married for a long time because they never want to talk about their problems. They never want to confront them. And they're the ones that are married for 60 and 70 years. But most of the time, and you know it, opposites attract. And you have a type A married to a type B and they drive each other crazy. Well, Dr. Selye said that if you are a type A personality, you have either had burnout or you're going to have burnout. That's what he says. How are you going to deal with burnout? You may be one who is a recovering burnout, or you may be on the brink of burnout. I want you to see today what the Bible has to say about how to prevent or to eliminate or avoid burnout. Now, Solomon is a good example of burnout. Look at chapter 2, verse 1 of Ecclesiastes. He sets out on an impossible search. He said, I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you, meaning I'll test my heart, with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? So I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. Solomon said, I tried pleasure. That didn't help me. I tried laughter. That didn't help me. He said, I tried liquor. That didn't help me. He said, I even tried folly, which means living it up, doing anything that my heart desired. He said, I didn't find fulfillment in that. And as I've told you earlier, Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes toward the end of his life when he's old and bitter and cynical. Without a doubt, he is a burned out individual. Now, I want you to look with me this morning in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I want us to notice the many faces of burnout. And I want us to notice at least three kinds of burnout to which you may experience. Number one, we break up from relational burnout. Yeah, you can have relational burnout, and that leads you to break up. That's why marriages are breaking up. That's why friendships are breaking up. That's why partnerships are breaking up, because people experience relational or emotional burnout. Now, that happened to Solomon. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, now, Brother David, I heard you say that Solomon had 1,000 wives. Are you exaggerating? Did you make that up? Not at all. In fact, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 3 says this, Solomon had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. That means wives who just did not have royal birth. Yes, he had 1,000 wives. And the Bible says his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been. You see, the Bible even says that when he comes to the end of his life, he was a burned out individual. Look in Ecclesiastes over to chapter 7. Chapter 7, and let's read about how he was emotionally burned out. He experienced relational burnout. If there was ever a man who had plenty of friends, plenty of lovers, it was Solomon. But he comes to the end of his life and he says, it's worthless. I'm burned out. Look at verse 26 of Ecclesiastes 7. What does he have to say about all of his wives? He says, I find more bitter than death the woman who is a snare, whose heart is a trap, and whose hands are chains. Have you ever felt like some relationship is binding you and pulling you down? And then he says, the man who pleases God will escape her, but the sinner she will ensnare. And then he begins to examine all of his relationships. Look, says the teacher, this is what I discovered, adding one thing to another to discover the scheme of things. While I was still searching but not finding, I found one upright, means reliable, trustworthy man among 1,000. Now, can you believe that? He said, out of 1,000 men who were around me, only one out of 1,000 is reliable. You say, well, that's a pretty bad average. Well, that was the men. The women come up even worse than that. Look at the next sentence. But not one upright woman among them all. Now, can you imagine? Here's a man who had all the friends anybody could want. He had more wives than anybody would ever want. But as he comes to the end of his life, he says, all of them have failed me. One man in 1,000 is all I could count on. I mean, he's relationally burned out. How about you? Are you recovering from a bad relationship? Are you in the middle of a bad relationship right now? Most of us at one time or another have some relationships that cause us pain. Many of you saw the movie Forrest Gump this summer, and there's several lines that you may remember from that movie, like, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. But that's not the line I remember most. The scene and the line that I'll never forget is when Forrest Gump and Jenny are grown and they come back to the neighborhood and they walk down a little dirt road and they come to the home place where Jenny grew up and where she was obviously abused. And suddenly all the anger and the rage of a bad relationship comes to the surface, and she reaches down and she begins to violently throw rocks at that house, and her anger is directed in her rock throwing at that house. And finally, she just falls down weeping. And Forrest Gump gets down in the dirt with her and puts his arm around her. And this is when he says it. He says, "Sometimes there are just not enough rocks." And isn't that true, folks? We've all had painful relationships, and sometimes there are just not enough rocks to express how much we've been hurt. Well, that's happened to Solomon. He experienced relational burnout, and we do too. Well, there's another kind of burnout too. We break up from relational burnout. Number two, we drop out from spiritual burnout. We drop out from spiritual burnout. Now, flip over a page in Ecclesiastes to chapter 9, and we'll see that Solomon also experienced spiritual burnout. You see, in Proverbs, Solomon is a spiritual genius, obviously full of the Spirit, and Proverbs is a good guide for life. But when you come to Ecclesiastes, he becomes bitter and cynical. He apparently has burned out spiritually. In fact, he makes this reflection, chapter 9, verse 1. "I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands, but no man knows whether love or hate awaits him." And here's his observation that is so wrong. All share a common destiny, the righteous and the wicked. Now, you and I know that's not true, but see, he's so bitter, so burned out, he believes that. He says the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices, those who do not, as it is with a good man, so with a sinner, as it is with those who take oaths, so it is with those who are afraid to take them. He says, there's no difference. What's the use trying to live for God? That's what he says at the end of his life. Spiritually burned out. And so he's basically dropped out. Didn't we read in 1 Kings 11 that it says, toward the end of his life, his heart was not devoted toward God? And friends, did you know that our lives are littered with many people who've dropped out spiritually? They're no longer serving God. At one time in their lives, they were faithful to God, but now they've dropped out. Mike, there's some people who used to sing in the choir, but they've dropped out. There are people who used to teach Sunday school, Dennis, but they've dropped out. There are people who used to be faithful to serve the Lord, but they've just dropped out. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, "I hear that Green Acres Baptist Church has over 9,000 members now. Is that right?" I said, "That's right, that's true. Total membership over 9,000. This man asked me, he says, "Now, are all of those active members?" I said, "Yes, sir, every one of them. Either they're actively following God or actively running from God, but they're all active." And you and I know that there are some people who aren't here this morning who used to faithfully serve God, but what happened? They experienced spiritual burnout. There are some who are here who used to serve the Lord, but now all you do is you're a Sunday morning spectator, and that's the extent of your service to the Lord. Could it be that you were disappointed or hurt or something happened and you've become like Solomon, not as devoted to the Lord as you once were? I read recently that in the Southern Baptist Convention, every year 1,000 men leave the ministry. Why does that happen? Spiritual burnout. Where you get to the point where you say, "What's the use? There's no difference between good people and bad people." Well, this is the problem. Relational burnout. Spiritual burnout. We're coming to the answer in just a moment. But notice one other kind of burnout. We get run down from physical burnout. Now that's another kind of burnout. We get run down from physical burnout. You can experience emotional burnout because you have a soul. You can experience spiritual burnout because you have a spirit. And yes, you can experience physical burnout because God has given us a body. Well, flip over one more page and let's read about Solomon's confession of how physically tired and how physically sick he was. Now, scholars believe that he wrote this when he was about 70 years old, which in Bible terms, that's a spring chicken. But he comes to a time in his life when he's run down physically. Chapter 12, verse 1. He's using metaphors here for the human body. And so he says in verse 1, "Remember the Creator in the days of your youth." Why? Because when you get old, it gets tough. He says, "Before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you'll say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. And then he begins to point out different physical ailments in the body. Look at verse 3. He says, when the keepers of the house tremble. Now that's a picture of his legs. His legs are trembling. He's getting so old and decrepit. And the strong men stoop. He's talking about his shoulders. He's becoming stoop-shouldered. And then he says, when the grinders cease, because they are few. What do you think he's talking about? Teeth. Talking about teeth, because when you get old, you start losing your teeth. I knew one lady, bless her heart, she said, praise God, I've only got two teeth left in my mouth, but thank the Lord, at least they meet, you know. He said, listen, when you get old, got to think about that one. When you get old, he says, the grinders get few. He says, I'm getting old. Keep reading there. He says, and those looking through the windows grow dim. He says, your eyesight gets dim. Verse 4, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades. Scholars say that he's talking about snoring there. He's talking about insomnia. He says, no longer can I even sleep at night. When men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. He says, you think you hear something, but you didn't really hear it. You've got a ringing in your ears. Then he says, verse 5, when men are afraid of heights. He says, when you get old, you're afraid of climbing up on a ladder, afraid you'll fall and break your hip. And of dangers in the streets. He says, when you get old, you're afraid to go out at night because of the danger out there. And this is good, verse 5. When the almond tree blossoms. An almond tree is a white blossom. What that means is when you get gray hair on the top. That's what he's talking about. And the grasshopper drags himself along. It's a picture of a man who is so bent and crooked that he looks like a grasshopper walking along. And he says, and desire is no longer stirred. He says, this is when your get up and go has gotten up and gone. He says, that's what life is like when you get old. But I want you to know, folks, that physical burnout has absolutely nothing to do with age, right? We've all known men in their 30s and 40s who just burned out physically, but yet we know some people who are older, up in years, and yet they still have a lot of energy, they still have a lot of strength. You see, it wasn't the years on Solomon, it was the mileage. I mean, he had lived a rough kind of life, and he comes to the point of physical burnout. I read this week about a lady by the name of Mavis Algren. There's a book entitled Grandma Wore Running Shoes. This lady is 78 years old, and she recently ran in the New York City Marathon, over 26 miles. She started running when she was 70 years old, and she has run in 12 marathons herself. Isn't that amazing? It has nothing to do with age. But there are some people who get so run down physically. And I think one of the reasons is that we try to play like we're the Energizer rabbit, right? You know that Energizer bunny? Keeps on going, keeps on going, keeps on going. Folks, that is false advertising. Did you know? Even Energizers run down. But in that commercial, it never does. And there are some people who think physically, I can keep on going, keep on going, keep on going without stopping for rest. And you are wrong, because you will run down physically. Well, now that's the problem. Look at it. Physical burnout, spiritual burnout, relational burnout. Now you say, Pastor, that's a problem. What in the world can I do about it? Well, that's where we're headed next, because God gives us a very simple but sure cure for burnout. How to eliminate it? How to avoid it? And it's found right here in that beautiful invitation that the Lord Jesus gives in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. I printed it for you there on the outline. If you'll read it along with me, as I read out loud, you read silently. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Can you relate to that? He says, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Would you take your pencil or your pen and let's read through that passage again, and I want you to underline or circle the key words there that will help you find a cure for burnout. Underline or circle the first word there where Jesus just said, come. And then the last line, word on that line, weary and burdened. Underline burdened. He says, next line, I will give you rest. Circle that word rest. Take my yoke, underline yoke, upon you and learn. Underline that word learn, because we're going to talk about all these. Jesus said, for I am gentle, underline gentle, and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Underline that phrase. For my yoke is easy, underline easy, and my burden is light. Did you know somebody who is a type A personality, prone to burnout? They're the kind of person who says, listen, I know what the problem is, so give me a quick fix. Give me a pill to take. Give me a plan to follow. I want to work my plan and plan my work. What can I do about my burnout? That's the type A person. Well, friend, I'm going to tell you exactly what to do from the Word of God, how to deal with burnout. Number one, there is something for you to do. And type A people like to be doers. There is something for you to do, and it is come. Come to Jesus. That's what he says. If you are weary, if you are burdened down, he says, come to me. Now, what is that saying? Friend, that's saying that the only source of rest, the only source of peace is found when you come to Jesus. It's not found in pills. It's not found only in therapy. It's not found in some kind of plan or some kind of program. It's found in a person, and his name is Jesus. You come to Jesus. The sad thing is people today are looking in all other sources for peace. You hear the story about the man who was walking along the proverbial cliff in the middle of the night. His footing gives way, and he's suddenly falling down the side of the cliff into the waves that are crashing onto the jagged rocks below. And in the darkness, his hands are groping for anything to save his to save him as he's falling. Frantically, he grabs hold of a root that's sticking out from the side of that cliff, and he's hanging there suspended between heaven and earth, holding on for dear life. The night is as black as midnight. The stars are obscured by the clouds. He cannot see a thing. He can just hear the waves crashing into the jagged rocks below. And so as he's hanging on, he looks up into the sky and he says, help! Help! Is anybody up there? And for a while there's no reply. He says, help! Is anybody there? And finally a voice from up there says, yes, I'm here. And the man says, thank God, who is it? And the voice says, you got it right. This is God speaking. And so the guy says, well, God, help me. Help me, save me. God says, all right. Let go. I'll catch you. The guy considers it for a moment, then he shouts, is there anybody else up there? Isn't that what we like to do? The Lord tells us what to do in His Word, but we try to say, well, now, isn't there something else I can do? Is there somebody else I can turn to? Well, meanwhile, back on the cliff, the guy's hanging there. His hands become sweaty. His arms begin to cramp. And finally, he decides to do what the Lord's told him to do, and he doesn't know how it's going to help him. And so finally, he lets go of that root and falls 4 inches to a trail that was there beneath his feet all along. You see, sometimes we think what God asks us to do is so wild and so hard, when God's plan is really simple. Jesus just says, you come to me. Approach me if you're burned out. I'm the one who will give you rest. So there's something to do. Number two, there is something to leave. Something to leave, and it is your burden. He says, come to me, all you who weary and are burdened. You know, burdens and troubles and difficulties and worries, they pile up on all of us. And I want you to imagine for a moment this morning that your burdens, your problems, your worries are like rocks on the pathway of life. And you see, every one of us have a bag that we're carrying on our shoulder. And as you walk along in life, you can either stumble over these stones or you can avoid them. But some of us, it's inevitable that we fall into some of them. And so a lot of us pick up these stones and we put them in this bag on our back and we continue down the pathway of life. And we all tend to accumulate these burdens. Now everybody who came into this room this morning, you have this imaginary bag full of problems, full of stones on your back. For some of you, it's 2 or 3 big rocks. But for others of you, it's 40 or 50 smaller stones. But all of you brought those in today. Those are called your burdens. And I want to remind you that the New Testament says that we are to cast our cares upon the Lord, for He cares for us. Now let me tell you what I want you to do with those stones this morning. I want you to do what Jesus says. I want you to unload that bag, pour out all of those stones, these problems, these worries, these difficulties that you have. And I want you to do with them what they did in the Old Testament with stones. They would take stones and they would build an altar out of the stone, an altar of worship. And I want you to take all of these problems and pile them up right now this morning. And I want you to say, Lord, these are not good. I mean, they're causing me fits, and I don't know why I should give them to you other than the fact that you asked me to do it. But here they are, Lord. And as an act of worship, I offer the sacrifice of praise to you upon the altar of my problems. Here, Lord, I'm going to worship you. Then I want you to leave those stones there, those burdens there. Every one of you who walked into this room this morning with those burdens on your back, you're either going to walk out of here with those burdens still there, or you're going to leave them with the Lord. The choice is yours. I like what that old gospel song says, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. So there's something to do. There's something to leave. Number three, there is something to learn. Because look what Jesus said next. He said, learn. And the thing you're to learn is just simply Jesus. Let's do a little Greek grammar lesson for just a moment here. That phrase in Matthew 11, it doesn't literally say learn about me or learn from me. It literally means learn me. The King James really translates it well when it says learn of me. It is a little preposition that means out of. Jesus says, you come to me, you lay down your burdens, and then you learn me. You learn what I'm like. Now let me ask you this morning, how well do you know Jesus? I mean, do you know Him intimately? What have you learned about Jesus? You see, there are some of you that still picture God as some foreign deity, some cosmic killjoy, some policeman up in heaven, and He's harsh and He's mean and He's angry. But I want you to see what Jesus says you'll learn about Him. Look at that verse there. He says, learn of me, for I am gentle. It is so easy to get to know somebody who's gentle. None of us wants to know somebody who is harsh and arrogant and mean. We shy away from people like that. But have you ever noticed that we're attracted toward people who are gentle and kind and humble in spirit? Jesus says, that's the way I am. I am easy to get to know. Now what do you learn about Jesus when you come to Him? Well, you learn, friends, that He can give you peace. You learn that He loves you. And you'll learn that that's what He wants you to do, to spend time with Him, to learn of Him. You know one reason that you're burned out or you're facing burnout? You're just not taking the time to sit at the feet of Jesus and get to know Him. You know, I keep coming back to this illustration from the Bible over and over again, but because it speaks perfectly to this. It's the same problem that Martha had on the day that Jesus came to her house for supper. Here she is in the kitchen, knocking the pots and pans together, working real hard. Mary is over here at the feet of Jesus, just sitting there learning Him. Learn of me? Mary was a type, I mean, Martha's definitely a type A. She rushes into the living room in there, and she rebukes her sister and says to Jesus, Jesus, you tell Mary to get in here and help me right now, because I'm serving you. Now, don't misunderstand what Jesus said. Some people like to try to explain it away and think that Jesus said something like this. Well, Martha, you do your thing. You let Mary do her thing. Both of you are doing the right thing. He did not say that. I'll tell you what He said. You read it for yourself. He said, Martha, you are worried. You are burdened. You are troubled with many things. Sound like burnout? But Mary has chosen the one thing that is necessary to sit at my feet and learn of me. Now, folks, you know what you learn when you get close to Jesus? You learn that He loves you because of who you are, not because of what you do. Now, you've probably missed that and didn't realize it. That was probably the most profound thing that you'll hear today, so I'm going to repeat it. You will learn that Jesus loves you for who you are rather than what you do. You see, if you're trying to work hard to earn God's love, you're mistaken. You'll never make God love you any more than He already does. Understand that? And so quit working to try to earn His love. Every pastor has had the tragedy of sitting in a counseling session and having an adult regret and cry over the fact that they said they never felt like they earned their parents' love. Oh, I tried to make all A's. I tried to make the football team. I tried to succeed in business, hoping that I could earn the love of my parents. Friends, you really can't earn God's love. I mean, you can teach 1,000 Sunday school classes and God wouldn't love you anymore. You can give $1 million to God's work and He won't love you anymore. I mean, you can go to Africa and work over there unselfishly for 40 years and God will not love you anymore. Now, you may experience the benefits of His love from that, but He won't love you anymore. He says, I love you because of who you are. And so you need to accept His love. There's something to do. There's something to leave. There's something to learn. Number four, there is something, number four, that you need to take. And that is His yoke. He says, take My yoke upon you. Now, do you know what a yoke is? It's not in the middle of an egg, kids. I mean, most of us who didn't grow up on a farm really don't know what a yoke is. But let me just tell you, it is a wooden harness that they used to use in Bible days to put on the neck of an ox, or it could be a double yoke put on the neck of two oxen, and it was to pull. Now here's the problem, you see. A lot of us are struggling trying to pull our own yoke as hard as we can, trying to serve God. You know, that's why people experience spiritual burnout. They stay so busy and they have substituted religious activity for a personal relationship with God. It's like the little poem, you know, Baptists are the busiest people. It says, Mary had a little lamb. It would have been a sheep, but became a Southern Baptist and died from lack of sleep. Can you relate to that? So many religious activities. Here we are in our yoke, pulling as hard as we can, struggling, experiencing burnout. God says, take that yoke off and take My yoke upon you. Let me tell you something about His yoke. It is one of those double yokes. And here you are on one side of the yoke, and you look over there and right next to you is Jesus on the other side of the yoke. And guess what? You need love? There's all the love you need. You need power? There's all the power that you need. He's pulling with you. In fact, His strength is made perfect in your weakness. Have you ever felt like, I just can't go on? I'm just so tired. I'm just so worn out. I'm so burned out. I cannot go on. Well, friend, for sure, you're not yoked up with Jesus. Because in those moments that you feel the weakest, if you're in yoke with Jesus, He's the one that's given the strength. He's the one that's giving the pulling power when you take His yoke upon you. Finally, there is something to find, and it is peace, rest. He says, you shall find rest unto your soul. Let me just ask you, how do you feel when you read that phrase, rest for your soul, or rest unto your soul? I mean, does the idea of experiencing soul rest, does that please you? Is that attractive to you? Does that interest you? Rest is something that we all need. We've all heard of the two-fisted, hard-charging businessman who burns the candle at both ends. I heard about one of these executives who went to see his doctor and said, Doc, I'm just so stressed out. I'm so high-strung. I need some tranquilizers. I need some help. And the doctor said, your problem is you're burning the candle at both ends. And the businessman looked at him and said, I didn't come for a lecture. I came for more wax. And that's true. There are a lot of people today, they are burning that candle at both ends and they're finding very little rest. May I say to you that you will burn out unless you take time to rest in the Lord. Think about Genesis chapter 1 for just a moment. God worked for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, the Bible said God rested. I want to ask you a theological question. Do you think God was tired? No. The Bible says God never gets tired. He never gets weary. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He doesn't need rest. Well, all right, now come on, follow this. Why do you think then that God took the seventh day and rested? I'll tell you why. He was trying to teach us something. Because we do get weary. We do get tired. And He was trying to demonstrate to us, He was trying to model to us that if you don't live a rhythm of work and rest, you will wear yourself out. You know, sometimes God will let you burn out. He really will let you burn out, because when you burn out, you start reexamining your priorities in life. My dad was a forester in South Alabama when I was growing up. He worked for International Paper Company. He supervised 42,000 acres of pine woodlands, and part of his job was to harvest and plant pine trees, but also his job was to fight forest fires. And some of the most exciting memories of my childhood is when I would awaken in the middle of the night and we would go out and fight forest fires. I'll never forget the shock that I felt the first time I saw my dad go into the woods and set the woods on fire intentionally. And I said, do I have an arsonist for a dad? Dad, why are you doing this? And he explained to me that every year at a certain time during the year, they would do what's called controlled burning. They would set the woods on fire to burn out all the underbrush. And the trees would not be hurt, but the underbrush would be burned out. And I tell you, it didn't look pretty because the landscape would be blackened and scarred and scoured by the fire. But next spring, guess what? You'd see those little sprouts of green start poking their heads up through that blackened soil. And by the middle of spring, it was so fresh and green again. And I think there's a lesson there. Sometimes we get so much junk accumulated in our lives, I think God sometimes will let us experience burnout to get rid of some of that stuff that doesn't need to be there. And He brings you through a period of burnout, and He creates new life again in you. And so where are you right now? Some of you are recovering burnouts. Others of you are candidates for burnout. Others of you are right on the brink of burnout. And what God's trying to say to you today is, come to Me. Leave your burden at the cross. Sit at My feet. Set aside a personal quiet time every day. Learn of Me. Put My yoke on you, because it's easy. I don't want anybody to ever say again it's hard to be a Christian. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. Jesus says, My yoke is what? Easy. Easy. My burden is light. And then you'll find rest for your souls. Let's pray. Lord, I know that there's somebody here today who needed to hear that message. And I pray that they will not just simply be a hearer of the Word. I pray that they will be a doer of the Word. And I pray they won't just hear this sermon. But Lord Jesus, I pray that they would hear Your personal invitation for them to come to You, to learn of You, and to rest in You. Because Lord, we know that there are so many those who've dropped out, broken up, and are run down around us. Thank You that You give us the cure for burnout. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.